Hello and welcome to our program, Business News, brought to you by Owl Radio and the Low Vision Resource Center. I am Dennis Martin, and during the next half hour, I will be reading articles from the San Antonio Business Journal, here on Owl Radio. Kielbasa CEO talks growth opportunities, company culture, and legacy. And the article is written by James McCandless, reporter, San Antonio Business Journal. In the months leading up to the COVID-19 pandemic, the potential for change was in the air. The Kielbasa family, owners of long-standing San Antonio manufacturer Kielbasa Smoked Meats, was considering selling the company. At the time, according to CEO Michael Kielbasa, it felt like the right thing to do. First of all, the market was attractive for branded food companies at the time, he explained in a recent wide-ranging interview with the Business Journal. We just passed through a family transition, and it was an opportune time. Those transitions are always an opportunity to look at what's best for the company. The family didn't get very far, finishing their first round of interviews with potential financial advisors before shelving the idea. Now that they're on the other side, Kielbasa said his employees' dedication during the pandemic has convinced him to explore a different kind of ownership model, one that recognizes the entire team's contributions. I'm a big fan of employee stock ownership plans, he said. I don't know if we're going to do that or something else, but we're going to work on a way to reward all of our team members, all of the way down to the floor, for the growth and success that they've created for this company. More than a decade ago, the company introduced a values-based leadership model that he says puts company culture above all else. You could have the best strategy in the world, have the best product and the best margins. But Kielbasa invoked economist W. Edward Deming's famous missive to illustrate what's most important to the company. Culture eats strategy for breakfast. This is one of the reasons we've been around for 75 years, he said. We exist to enrich lives, and they know exactly how we do it, and we talk about this every single day. We talk about it before most of our meetings. We've gone through a lot of changes in our business over the years, and in the last 5 years, but our culture has allowed us to navigate those challenges efficiently, effectively, and successfully. We could not have done it without our culture. Michael has been CEO since his father's passing in 2021, though he's managed the day-to-day affairs for years prior to taking that mantle. For decades, the company has made its name on pork sausage, but changing taste, particularly the rise of poultry in recent years, has led them to different paths. While pork sausage may not be the biggest growth market, Kielbasa thinks they found a way to ride the growth in the poultry sector. It's a competitive space that has overtaken other meats in consumer preference. It's also an opportunity for the firm to bring a kind of quality to the marketplace that he says is missing in other producers. We think we've got a lot of opportunity there because so many of the big processors, the national brands you think about in chicken sausage, used to be really good, he said. But then they get acquired by a big, publicly held company, and they start to value engineer their product down to the point where it's a shadow of its original self. We think there's an opportunity to come in and bring back what that original product tastes like with our own little Kielbasa twist. That plays into the company's goal of expanding its customer base geographically and demographically. On the geographic front, getting its products into the hands of first-time buyers is a large part of the strategy. But It's also making sure that they generate interest in sausage from the younger generations. I think demographically, we need to reintroduce younger people to it, he said. I mean, older people may have grown up eating sausage, but a lot of younger people haven't. So really, introducing it to them is going to be a key element of our success. Walking through one of the company's plants, Kielbasa says that both can produce 100,000 pounds of product a day. While they seek to innovate in product lines and offerings, the company still handles a lot of the production process by hand. He doesn't get too far down his pathway through the plant without giving a smile and a handshake to one of his employees, who he knows on a first-name basis. He's had a lot of time to learn them, as many of the employees we encountered on a recent tour said they've been with Kielbasa for about 20 years. The pork used to hand-produce the sausage, which Kielbasa is quick to point out is never frozen, is stored, cut up, fed into a grinder, and shaped into casings. They're then cooked nearby in an hours-long process in a handful of industrial ovens. Kielbasa says that a batch of sausages cooked on Monday will probably be on store shelves at the end of the week. Kielbasa also wants to broaden how the company's products are presented, breaking into new product categories like microwavable meals. They recently partnered with California-based Cedar Lane Foods to feature Kielbasa sausage in other food products. They're putting our sausage into a pasta dish that's microwavable, just kind of a heat and eat, he said. We're selling it at Costco in the Southeast right now, so we're looking at how we can expand things like that in the future. As the latest steward of the family's legacy, Kielbasa is fully aware of the weight on his shoulders every day. He sees his own last name going into work, walking through the two plants operating on the west side, and looking at the packaging. When your name's on the package and on the building, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with it. But it's also a lot of fun, he said. Now let's move on to an article by W. Scott Bailey, senior reporter, San Antonio Business Journal. San Antonio Airport lands $30 million in new federal terminal funding. The largest of two new grants will support the construction of a new third terminal. San Antonio International Airport is getting a timely financial assist from Washington, D.C. The Federal Aviation Administration has awarded a pair of grants to SAT totaling $30 million that will support terminal development and improvements projects in the Alamo City. The largest grant will provide $18 million towards San Antonio's construction of a new third terminal as part of the city's $2.5 billion airport expansion and improvements plan. A separate $12 million grant will support electrical upgrades at San Antonio's existing Terminal A. Some heavy hitters in D.C., including Senators John Cornyn and Ted Cruz, as well as Congressman Greg Cesar, Joaquin Castro, Henry Cuellar, Tony Gonzalez, and Chip Roy, went to bat for San Antonio, according to Mayor Ron Nirenberg. We had several people working tirelessly behind the scenes to advocate for our community, he said. The grants are funded through the fiscal year 2024 Bipartisan Infrastructure Law Airport Terminals Program. Our mission is to provide our travelers an authentic and elevated experience, said Jesus Sainz, Director of Airports for the San Antonio Airport System. As we grow and expand our operations, these grants allow us to continue to modernize our airport and improve traveler experience. Nearly a year ago, I reported that the FAA had awarded a $20 million grant to San Antonio International for major Terminal A improvements. Airport officials said that funding would be used to build a new ground loading facility that will expand gate capacity. That grant was also expected to support other new infrastructure needed to accommodate more airlines and flights. In July, airport officials confirmed that the FAA was providing another $2.2 million in grant funding for Terminal A roof improvements. San Antonio's City Council gave City Manager Eric Walsh the green light in December to execute a construction manager at-risk contract with Hensel Phelps Construction Company for the $1 billion new terminal development project. He said the latest funding is a big win for the entire region. The terminal expansion isn't just about upgrading infrastructure. It's about fueling our city's economic engine and bolstering our connectivity, Walsh said. We're solidifying San Antonio's position as a hub of opportunity and growth. SAT hit a new high mark in 2023 with nearly 11 million passengers moving through its two terminals. We are doing our best to keep up with the demand, Sines said. Here's another article from W. Scott Bailey. Schlitterbahn owner loses total, wait, sorry, Schlitterbahn owner losses total millions ahead of planned merger. Theme park industry CEO believes both companies will ultimately benefit from an alliance. Cedar Fair Entertainment Company, the parent company of Schlitterbahn Water Park and Resort Properties in New Braunfels and Galveston, has reported a net loss of $10 million in the fourth quarter of 2023. That's a steep slide from the $12 million in net income it recorded over the same period the previous year. The Ohio-based company has attributed that financial hit primarily to $17 million in transaction costs related to its proposed merger with Six Flags Entertainment Corporation, which the two companies announced in early November. The planned alliance has drawn the interest of the U.S. Department of Justice and the ire of some shareholders. The DOJ has launched an antitrust review of the proposed merger, a move that could potentially impact the timing or even closure of a deal. I don't think the DOJ is going to be a major issue, veteran industry expert Dennis Spiegel told me. Do I think there may be some divestiture of properties? Possibly. Such a move, said Spiegel, founder and CEO of International Theme Park Services Incorporated, could alleviate any competitive concerns and allow the companies to pay down debt. Cedar Fair did generate a record $370 million in net revenue in the fourth quarter, an increase of 1% over the fourth quarter 2022 total. It reported $1.8 billion in net revenue for all of 2023, compared to $1.82 billion in 2022. The $125 million in net income Cedar Fair managed in 2023 was a decrease of $183 million from its 2022 total. Company officials attribute the difference in part to the 2022 sale of California Great America Real Estate that netted the company $155 million. We look forward to completing our combination with Six Flags and delivering on the compelling value creation opportunities ahead, which we believe are greater than what either company can achieve independently, Cedar Fair CEO Richard Zimmerman said. There has been some shareholder resistance to the proposed $8 billion Cedar Fair Six Flags merger. That's in part because Cedar Fair shareholders don't get a vote. I think this deal will be beneficial to both, he said. It's not going to be an easy transition. There is some complexity to it. Now let's move on to First Look. Amelia Social Lounge debuts in Creamery District. The article is written by Jalen Lopez, data reporter, San Antonio Business Journal. The new Amelia Social Lounge brings an elegant experience to the Creamery District. The Creamery District's third of five food establishments is opening this weekend, providing a menu of classic cocktails, an extensive wine list, and live music. The spot is the latest concept from Only One Hospitality, known for Creme Coffee and Social, Hook, Land and Sea, and 1902 Nightclub. 1902 Nightclub, while a different experience from Amelia, was another project where Only One Hospitality transformed a historic building. Amelia and the others in the mixed-use redevelopment at the Creamery District in the former Borden Dairy plant maintain elements from the original plant. Old machines are littered throughout the back seating area, and the ceiling is covered in pipes once used by the dairy plant. A grand piano near the Amelia entrance has found a second life as well. Historic buildings create new challenges, especially when changing the space from its original function. Only One Hospitality Vice President Josh Hume and Director of Concepts and Development Angela Burns explained some of the challenges that appeared while creating Amelia. Patience was key with Amelia, as new problems appeared every day, Hume told the Business Journal. A table in the rear seating area was plagued by a leak in the ceiling, and the furniture in Amelia needed to be custom made to fit the space. But Amelia opening to the public is rewarding, and the team is excited to bring a new establishment to the growing area. The Amelia Social Lounge grand opening begins February 15th and runs through February 17th. Customers can expect cocktail specials from 4 to 7 p.m. and half-off wine by the glass all night. Now, here's some news that's a little upsetting. Amazon Air's Port San Antonio exit to cost city more than 60 jobs. The company plans to continue operations in Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Houston. And this article is written by W. Scott Bailey. Amazon Air is grounding its cargo delivery operations in San Antonio. The move will result in the layoff of dozens of employees at Worldwide Flight Services, which has contracted with Amazon at its Kelly Field facilities at Port San Antonio. Worldwide, a global air cargo logistics firm, has informed the Texas Workforce Commission that there will be a total closure of the company's Kelly Field operations by April 10th. This closure is expected to be permanent and will affect all employees, WFS Vice President Amanda Gales wrote in a letter to the commission. All 65 Port San Antonio employees will be impacted by the closure and have been informed by WFS of its decision. The layoffs will be permanent. We're always evaluating our operations to better serve our customers and have made the decision to stop operations at Kelly Field, Amazon Sam Stevenson said in a statement provided to the Business Journal. Worldwide Flight Service is a valued partner and will continue working with them at other locations, Stevenson added. This decision will not impact customer deliveries in the San Antonio area. This isn't the first exit Amazon Air has made. The Wichita Business Journal, an affiliated publication, reported last April that the air cargo division of the world's largest online retailer had ended its daily Wichita flights after only 15 months. The company was attributed to its decision to market conditions. Last fall, Amazon Air ceased operations at Tampa International Airport after deciding to move its operation into larger facilities at Lakeland Linder International Airport. There have been concerns among some in the industry about a slowdown in air cargo demand post-pandemic. just under 21.9 million pounds of air cargo moved through San Antonio International Airport in December. That's below levels seen during the same month in 2022 and in 2019 prior to the pandemic. More than 187 million pounds of cargo moved through SAT in all of 2023 compared to 204.5 million pounds the previous year. Amazon Air said it will continue to support air operations in Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth, and Houston. Here's an article by Zoe Gottlieb, San Antonio Business Journal. St. Philip's College trains talent to fill solar industry jobs. San Antonio's newest batch of solar industry recruits have hit a milestone in their training. All 18 students enrolled in St. Philip's College's Power Generation and Alternative Energy program have passed their associate exam, demonstrating their readiness to enter the solar industry workforce, says Program Director Greg Overmiller. With their associate credential, awarded by the North American Board of Certified Energy Practitioners, they are ready to seek jobs as solar technicians, solar installers, or solar designers. When they leave here, they have all the knowledge and tools to be an entry-level solar technician, Overmiller told the Business Journal. Some of them may not go into solar, a lot will go into wind, and then some will go into hydrogen, and some will go into energy storage. St. Philip's Power Generation and Alternative Energy Associate of Applied Science program is a two-year degree program that provides students with the skills necessary to work in the electrical power generation industry. The program consists of 8-week accelerated courses beginning with an introduction to solar photovoltaic systems and ending with a practicum. The program is tuition-free, helped by a $500,000 grant from OCI Solar Power. Along with a free education, students receive approximately $1,000 in solar equipment, a $50 bi-weekly gas allowance, and can apply for $600 per semester from Project Quest. Most students enrolled in the program are either veterans or students transitioning from other fields, ranging from ages 15 up to 85, Overmiller said. One of those students is Robert Sisko, a practicum student who had just retired as vice principal at a high school when he decided to change careers to electrical engineering. I started out just wanting to take a class in electrical, so I came and visited with Mr. Overmiller, and before I knew it, I signed up for an entire program, Sisko said. I switched over from electrical to solar and just found it fascinating. Everything about power generation is fascinating to me. Overmiller emphasizes hands-on, experiential learning in his courses, taking his students on field trips and having them confront practical problems. He says his students have helped hundreds of residential solar customers and were recently authorized to troubleshoot CPS Energy's solar power plants around the city. By the time students are ready to graduate, they have hundreds of jobs waiting for them, according to Overmiller, who pointed out that companies such as Tesla, CPS Energy, and Big Sun Solar have all been in the classroom seeking to recruit students, sometimes even before they graduate. They can start their own company once they finish this class, because all these companies have left, Overmiller added. He suggests some of the jobs students could get after completing the program could pay as much as $125 to $150 per hour. Overmiller's experience as a program director follows his personal success with solar. Before taking the job at St. Philip's, he once owned Texas Solar Power Company and previously worked with Texas Solar Utilities in San Antonio as chief operating officer, according to his LinkedIn. Despite a softening of the residential solar market in 2023, the solar hiring fervor doesn't appear to be slowing down. Driven by federal incentives and a private sector shift toward carbon capture and renewable energy systems, solar and battery storage could make up an estimated 81% of new U.S. electric generating capacity in 2024, according to the U.S. Energy Information Administration. And as the solar jobs multiply, Overmiller believes his graduates are more than ready to claim them. When they graduate, they're going to have a high-paying job and no debt, Overmiller said. In this week's Restaurant Roundup, written by Jalen Lopez, Colcrest Miniature Golf introduces Colcrest Diner. A San Antonio chef is reimagining Taco Bell's Crunchwrap Supreme, and a Chick-fil-A reopened for business. Colcrest Miniature Golf to open new diner. San Antonio's staple Colcrest Miniature Golf Course is opening Colcrest Diner, offering its own food menu for customers to enjoy. The miniature golf course has been around for almost 100 years and offers a classic mini-golf experience for the whole family. Now, Colcrest can serve private parties, events, and regular customers from the new diner's culinary offerings. The establishment hasn't revealed its menu yet, but promised to share more details before it opens again on March 8th. San Antonio Chef, selected for Taco Bell partnership. A local chef has been selected as one of the three chefs included in Taco Bell's TBX program, which supports and connects emerging culinary talent from around the nation. Local eatery Best Quality Daughter chef Jennifer Hua Doberton is the only woman and Texan selected for the 2024 inaugural program, where she will reimagine Taco Bell's Crunchwrap Supreme. Doberton is a 2024 James Beard nominee and will bring her unique perspective to the classic Taco Bell menu item. The local chef is joined by Ruben Asaram from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Lauren Smith from Phoenix, Arizona. All three chefs will create a unique take on the Crunchwrap Supreme, which will be available for a limited time at select locations. Chick-fil-A Northwoods open for business. Earlier this week, the former Chick-fil-A A Stone Oak location reopened in a new space and is now known as Chick-fil-A Northwoods. The Northwoods location opened Tuesday, February 13th, featuring a 5,000 square foot restaurant, dual drive-through lanes, and additional parking spaces. Customers can stop in to eat in the dining area that can hold 68 guests with another 26 spots in an outdoor area. The Chick-fil-A franchise location is locally owned and operated by Juan Garza. Well, my time has flown by. Thank you for listening. You have been listening to Business News on Owl Radio. You can listen to Owl Radio on our specially tuned radio or by streaming on your computer or smartphone. You may also listen at your convenience on our podcast page at www.owlradio.org. Again, thank you for listening. This program will be replayed after 9 p.m. this evening. This is Dennis Martin saying goodbye from Owl Radio.